Thank y'all for that. You did a good job today. Y'all, we'll give them another hand. Before we start, I would like to praise, if y'all will, bow your heads. Dear Lord, I thank you for all that you do for us, God. I thank you for your many blessings, Lord. I pray for this sermon, Lord. I pray for you that you preach through me, Lord, that your word is clearly given, Lord, and that the congregation receives it with open spirits, Lord, open hearts, open minds, God, that they can understand it, Lord. I pray for boldness, and I pray that we learn what you're trying to teach us. We see what you're trying to teach us. You open our eyes, God, and we can understand just how important your word is, how important you are in our life, God, and the fact that you will take care of us, Lord. And I thank you for that. It's in Jesus' name I pray. Amen.
Amen.
If y'all want to go ahead and turn to Psalm 105, that's where we're going to start. That's where I'm going to base off my sermon off of. And it's just, I'm using that to kind of break down the easier part. But last time I preached, which was 2 weeks ago, y'all are getting me a week sooner now. So y'all have in the next 2 weeks. And I'm excited about it. Next week is Palm Sunday. So I'm excited about that. I'm praying for God to show me how to, show me what he wants me to preach on that. And I'm excited about this sermon. I'm excited about what he's talking about. And last time I preached, you know, I talked about when God speaks that we should trust, listen, and obey to what he says. And I said that God talks to us. He really does. He talks to every single one of us that are Christians. And we have to realize that. And the matter whether or not that we do what God says happens is based on the condition of our hearts. And then I got to talking about the importance of the Word, the importance of God's words, and the importance of the Bible. And so I was praying to God, and after I preached last time, God said, I want you to get a little bit deeper into that word part, the words of my mouth. And then, so I was praying, and then he kind of showed me some other ways to go into it. So I'm kind of excited about it. So I usually title every sermon I preach, that way I can kind of connect to it, each sermon. And the title of this one is, and kiddos, y'all can go back there. I forgot to say it, but I think everybody's back there. Zach and Mallory are going to teach. But the title of my sermon is, A Heavenly Meal, Bread from Heaven, and Water from a Rock. So if y'all will, turn to Psalm 105, verse 40. And I'm going to read to verse 41. And skip the first part of verse 40, and we're going to part B, where it says, and satisfied. And satisfied them with the bread of heaven. He opened the rock, and water gushed out. It ran in the dry places like a river. This is talking about when the children of Israel, you know, they just got out of Egypt. And God, they were complaining they were hungry, hungry, hungry. So God sent bread from heaven. And then after they got the bread, they complained that they were thirsty. They wanted more, they wanted more. So God said, okay. And so they went and got water out of a rock, which is completely impossible. And last time I was talking about reading your word, the word, and understanding what the spiritual symbolisms are. And in this, there are spiritual symbolisms for the bread, the rock, and the water. And that's what I'm going to go over today, the importance of the bread. And kind of on that, you know, I talked about the children of Israel. See, every time God did something for them, every time he delivered them or gave them something, they went back to worrying. They went back to doubting. They went back to complaining. What God gave him was surely enough. I mean, he took them from Egypt, got them out of slavery, and then here were the Egyptians coming after them, surely about to kill them. God parts the Red Sea. They walk through it. He's delivered them this far. He's taken them where they need to be. And due to the fact of their own unfaithfulness, their own fact that they don't trust God, they had to wander for 40 years in the wilderness. And sometimes we, in life, when God's given us stuff we pray for, when we're trying to trust God, and then we trust Him, then we get it, and we go back to not trusting Him. We don't let God, what He's given us, be good enough in our life. And I think a lot of us do that, and it's kind of sad to be that way, because if you can think of everything that God's given us, everything that God's given us in life that's allowed us to be blessed, allowed us to have life, everything that God's given us is surely enough for us to have a comfortable life. But we're always wanting more. It's where the greed comes in. We're always wanting more. But we're not wanting the spiritual things alive. We're wanting the physical things alive. We're not wanting to see what the spiritual things are. It's kind of like when we read the Word. You know, we read it and there are physical meanings to the Word. Yes, God fed them with bread from heaven. And yes, God gave them water from a rock. But what do those words there mean spiritually? Because we're not eating bread from the heaven. And we're not drinking water from a rock. But there's parts there for us today, just as much as it was for them. We can still eat that bread, and we can still drink that water, and we can still stand on the rock. So, if y'all will, turn to Deuteronomy 8, verse 3. We're going to talk about the bread first. And last time I said that I was talking about the seed of God. That's the Word of God. But bread is also the Word of God. The bread is also compared to the Word of God. So, verse 3. So he humbled you, allowed you to hunger, and fed you with manna. Fed you with manna which you did not know, nor did your fathers know, that he might make you know that man shall not live by bread alone, but man lives by every word that proceeds from the mouth of the Lord. See, and in Luke, when Jesus was in the wilderness, Satan, he was fasting for 40 days, so he was surely hungry. Satan came to Jesus and said, "This stone can be turned to bread. Why don't you eat it?" What did Jesus tell him? He quoted this verse. He said, "Man does not live by bread alone, but every word that proceeds out of the mouth of God." He quoted this. See, and then also in John chapter 6, Jesus compares himself to the bread. Now, I know I just said the bread is the Word, but what does that mean? See, Jesus was the Word in flesh. The Word became flesh, is what it says in John chapter 1. You see, bread represents God's Word, but it's also a physical representation of the Word of God becoming true. Jesus was God's Word because he promised for decades, for centuries to the Jews that there was going to be a Messiah coming to save them. Jesus came. The Word became flesh. The Word became true. But see, the bread represents the Word of God. And see, they were hungry. They wanted the bread. They wanted the bread. And when we're hungry, we're wanting food. We're wanting to bring it in. Now, I have a question. How many days do you go without eating? Not many. And how many days do we go without this bread? See, this is the bread of God. See, that when we eat, we get stronger physically. When you eat spiritually, you get in the Word of God, you get stronger spiritually. Because that is what keeps us with God. This is what helps us realize what God's promises are in our life, what God wants for our life, the opportunities He's given us. The bread is there for us to eat. The Word of God is there for us to take. He wants us to get into it and consume it. And last time I preached, I said this, and I'm going to say it again because it's very important. When you're reading the Word, don't just look at it and read it quickly. Read it slowly. Break it down. Read it slowly, because when you're reading it fast, you're going to miss stuff. There's so much in this Word that you're going to miss something even if you read it slowly. You've got to read it more than once too. But also read it out loud. Speak it. Because this is the spoken Word, not the Word that's read quietly. God wants His Word spoken in our lives. He wants the Word spoken to us. And then I made a point that when you speak it, you hear it, and faith comes by hearing. It builds us up. So I pray that if you're not reading your Word, the Bible, slowly every day, and you're not taking it in and reading it out loud, I pray that you start doing that. And if you do that, I guarantee you, your time in the Bible will be even more beneficial to you. I can promise you that. But we should be taking in that bread. We should be eating it daily. See, bread, when we eat, we have to eat to live, right? Would you say that? We have to eat spiritually for our spirits to live. Now, and I'm going to show you why. See, because without the Word of God, we would have never got saved. You know, that's true. Without the Word of God being presented to us, we would have never got saved. See, we were spiritually dead. The Word of God was spoken several times, one time, however many times, and then finally we accepted that was the truth. We gave our life to Christ, and our spirit became alive. The Holy Spirit came in us. Because of the Word of God being presented, we were given spiritual life. And a lot of us, we do not feed our spirit like we should. We don't feed it. And God wants our spirits fed because this It's His way of giving us even more life, abundant life. Because without this, we don't know what God wants for us. Without this, we don't know what the will of Him is for us in our life. Without Him, without this, we don't know anything about Jesus. We don't know that we were saved from our sins. We don't know that God loved us so much that He sent His only Son for us. See, the Word is God's Word speaking to us. We've got to get into it. That bread. And the Word equals life. There are a lot of Christians that act spiritually dead. They act spiritually dead, and it's because they're not giving the Word. They're not really allowing the Spirit to move them. They're quenching the Spirit. We cannot do that. We've got to trust that when we read this Word, that God's speaking to us. Because this is God's Word. If somebody ever tells me it's not, I'll argue. I won't argue with them, but I'll present to them why it is. They don't believe it, that's their fault. But this is the infallible Word of God. There's nothing wrong with it. The Word of God was given to us so we could be people that have abundance in our life. The Word of God was given to us so we could be saved. The Word of God was given to us so we could have a relationship with the One who loves us so much. See, the Israelites, when God spoke to them in Egypt, and a lot of us miss this, see, God wanted to talk to the Israelites. He wanted to talk to them. So He came, there's this big old cloud, started lightning, and He came and talked to them in a thundering voice. They were scared of God's voice. They told Moses, "We don't want that. We want you to talk to Him for us." That's in Exodus. That's the true Word of God. See, we're like that in our life. God's trying to speak to us. See, God wants to speak to us. And due to the fact that they did not accept that God wanted to talk to us, the veil was created. It separated man from God. And then luckily when Jesus died, the veil was torn. So that God could have communion again and speak to us every day. Not just prophets, but every single one of us. Not just the preachers, but every single one of us. But God wants to talk to us. And a lot of times when God talks to us and He tells us what to do through His Word, we get scared. Because it sounds crazy to us. See, we're living in our flesh because our spirit is not strong enough because we're not feeding it. If you don't feed your spirit, you're going to be weak in life.
Right, amen.
The Word of God is given to us for us to be strong. The Word of God wants us to have an abundance life. But God gives it to us so we can be with Him in communion in our life. God wants us to look at His Word, read it, and accept it for what it is. God wants us to be built on this. He wants us to trust this and eat this daily. Not just read it when we get too busy. See, the Word of God gives life. And if you want true life, why do we skip it when we're too busy? Why do we put TV before? Why do we put work before? See, God doesn't care when you read, but He wants you to read. He wants you to talk to Him and hear from Him. If we're too busy for the Word of God, you'll never have the fullness of life. And a lot of Christians don't realize how important it is. There are Christians who probably do have dust on their Bible at homes. They don't ever pick them up. They don't think it's important. But this is important. And I challenge you to read it every single day. And you will grow spiritually, and God will give you what you need. God will take care of you. You'll read the promises that God's given us, and you'll see that He'll provide for us. And then you can put them as your rock. That's the next thing I want to talk about, the rock. If you will, turn to Matthew chapter 7. What about the rock? Matthew chapter 7, verse 24 is where we're starting. Therefore, whoever hears these things of mine, whoever hears the Word of God, and does them, I will liken him to a wise man who built his house on the rock. And the rain descended, and the floods came, and the winds blew and beat on the house, and it did not fall, for it was founded on the rock. But everyone who hears these sayings of mine and does not do them will be like a foolish man who built his house on the sand. And the rain descended, the floods came, and the winds blew and beat on that house, and it fell, and great was its fall. And so it was when Jesus had ended these sayings that the people were astonished at His teaching, for He taught them as one having authority, not as the scribes. Now, who is the rock? Christ, God. Psalm 18, I'm going to turn there real quick. Y'all ain't got to, but if you want to, you can. There's Psalm 18 and two verses in that psalm. It compares God to a rock. Verse 2, the Lord is my rock and my fortress and my deliverer, my God, my strength, in whom I will trust, my shield and the horn of my salvation, my stronghold. And then verse 31 in Psalm 18 says, for who is God except the Lord? And who is a rock except our God? See, I like that. Because it's saying, who is God except our God? See, a lot of people have false gods in their life. And those aren't really gods. It can be money, which is mammon. It can be Muhammad. Or Allah. It can be any Hindu god, which have over 3,000. They can place their trust in all these other gods instead of the one true God. So who is God except the Lord? And who is our rock except God? Who is our rock except our God? See, our God is our rock. And see, when Jesus was talking, he said, whoever hears my sayings and does them, whoever hears the word that I say, whoever listens to this word, they read the word and they take it in and they believe it and they do it, they're going to be put on a rock. And that rock is me. See, once we became Christians, we took the word, believed it, accepted it. We were put on the rock, which is Christ. But then, sometimes we decide to move to our shack on the sand. We decide to move over to the place where we don't trust God near as much. We hear the word, and we don't do it, and then we're falling down. We're destroyed. People are like that, and they have life that is sad and miserable. God has put us on a rock. God is our fortress. God is our deliverer. See, when they built houses, they put it on a big concrete slab. Would it work very well if they were at a beach and put it on the sand? No, why not? Because it would not stand. See, the fact is, Christians should stand up to life. When life gets hard, when you're struggling, are you going to be the one that falls first? You're going to be the one that stands and takes the test and listens to God when He tells you to move. You're going to listen to what God has promised you. God wants us to be strong in Him. That's the key there. When God speaks, you do it. You do what He says. You get on the rock. So when times get hard, you don't fall. Because our God can get us over those times. Our God can get us through those times. See, God does not want us to be people that are defeated. He took care of the victory on the cross for us. Why do we not have victory in our lives? Because we're not allowing us to live on the rock. We're not trusting the Word of God in our life. See, every Christian should be on that rock. And how many of y'all have had hard times the past month? Anybody? How many of you had temptation hit you? All of us, right? Now, did you fall or did you take a stand with God? Think about that. There are going to be times that you're going to fall. But the key there is to repent. Get in the Word. Look at what God's promising you. And I guarantee you, God will keep you standing. God will keep you standing. So instead of falling down and giving up and allowing the Word of God not to mean anything in your life and allowing God to uphold you, God, our rock, our salvation, our deliverer, our fortress, He protects us, He holds us up, He gives us strength. God gives us strength. We have to believe that. And see, God gives us life. The bread gives life, the Word gives life, and God gives life. The rock provides life. Because if we didn't have God as our rock, we would fall and not have life. We would fall down and be spiritually dead. But God is there giving us life. He's upholding us and giving us life daily. He's there to keep us from falling. He's there to keep us believing what He's saying. He's there to uphold us and be our fortress. And the key there is to trust God. Trust what He says. Trust, listen, and obey. Almost to what God says. Because a lot of us, when God speaks, we're like the Israelites. We believe it at first, but then when our stomach starts growling or our finances look weak, we're starting to get hungry. We don't know what we're going to do. Instead of trusting that God's going to provide, even though He has up to this point, we give up on Him. Where God has to humble us a little bit. See, if you don't trust what God's going to do, Sometimes he just kind of lets you go on your own a little bit. He does. See, God's there. He's waiting for you to come back. He's there waiting for you to say, God, I trust you. God, I need you. God, I know you can provide. And trust what he says. But then if you don't, he's going to let you go on your own way a little bit. Now, he's going to be giving you ways to come back. He's going to let you. He's going to give somehow, some way. He's going to try to get to you. I promise you that. And you will. Eventually we do. Sometimes we wisen up a little bit, do we not? And then we repent and we get back. But then he humbles us. That's the key there. He humbles us to where we realize we need him and trust him. God gives life. God is our rock. He gives us strength. We should stand on him and be proud to stand on him and do his word in our life. If y'all will, turn to John chapter 7. I'm going to flip back to chapter 4 real quick and read something out of there. So if y'all would like to, you can turn there with me. You don't have to. Jesus is at the well and he's asked this woman to give him water. And so he talks to him and he compares this thing to water. And Jesus answered and said to her, "Whoever drinks of this water will thirst again. But whoever drinks of the water that I shall give him will never thirst. But the water that I will give him will become in him a fountain of water springing up into everlasting life." Now we'll go to chapter 7 and I'm going to show you what that water is. Chapter 7, verse 37. On the last day, the great day of the feast, Jesus stood and cried out, saying, "If anyone thirsts, let him come to me and drink. He who believes in me, as the scriptures have said, out of his heart will flow rivers of living water." But this he spoke concerning the Spirit, whom those believing in him would not receive, for the Holy Spirit was not yet given because Jesus was not yet glorified. The water is the Holy Spirit. And the Holy Spirit provides life. See, when we believe in Jesus, when we come to him, when we're thirsty, the Holy Spirit comes in there and he gives us life. The Holy Spirit comes in there and he's like a river flowing water. You see, the rock is God. We stand on the rock, the Holy Spirit comes and gives us water. And it says in Psalm 105, verse 41, it says it goes in the dry places. See, there are times in our life when we're a little dry. And the Holy Spirit's there to water it down a little bit. It's there to water it down. And the Holy Spirit gives us boldness. It gives us power. It gives us strength. It allows us to do what God has asked us to do. God wants us to trust in the Holy Spirit. He wants us to allow the Holy Spirit to move in us. The Holy Spirit will flow continually on us. And see, we all have the Holy Spirit and we're all supposed to be Spirit-led. But a lot of the times, we do something that is called quenching the Spirit. When the Spirit's moving us, we don't always do it. When the Spirit's moving us, we kind of hold back a little bit. We don't really listen to what God is saying. We don't listen to the bread. We don't eat the bread that God's telling us. But we shall never thirst again. That's good. See, a lot of people in life are thirsting for something. They're waiting. See, they had that God-shaped hole in their spirit. God's not in there. The Holy Spirit's ready to come out now. I said the Holy Spirit will come out like living water in water places. Now, if the Holy Spirit's in you, shouldn't we water other people? Shouldn't we water down the Word of God in their life? The Holy Spirit's there to water it down, the seed that we plant in people's life. The seed, the words that we present to them. If we allow the Holy Spirit to move, He will water those seeds. Now, it's up to their heart whether or not they receive Christ, whether they want that. But we can let the Holy Spirit water down the seed in people's life for us. We can let Him water it down so we can bring people to Christ. As Clint said, who's going to fill their shoes? You see, it's our job to go out and present the Word of God to people. It's our job. Jesus commanded that. And not to do that is not very good. That we're failing on that part of the church. We should go out and allow people to see the Holy Spirit living in our life. We should let them see that we're bringing in the Word of God. We should let them see that we're standing on the rock, which is Christ. So that way, when people see us, they realize they don't have what we have. See, because they're wanting that God-shaped hole. That's why Drugs are rampant. I was talking about some of my football boys in junior high. There are several of them that I know are doing illegal activities. I know that for a fact. That breaks my heart. See, I built a relationship with them. And I hope, and I've tried, and I'm trying to give them the Word of God. I'm trying to show them what it's like. There are several people in high school that I know, and friends I have out of high school that I know are doing things that are illegal. Because they have that God-shaped hole. See, they think it's all fun right now, but it's not. See, those things lead you to where you have death. They lead you in prison. And I can tell you, y'all know my testimony, prison is not a fun place. My family has been in there for years. You don't want to be in there. It's no fun. But that's where you lead yourself. And I guarantee you, when they're in prison, that's where God comes the most sometimes. That's where God gets to a lot of people. You know why? Because they're to the point where they realize what they're doing. They have nothing else. So that's why I thank God for preachers in prison. Because they go and give the Word of God to people who have God-shaped holes. But there are tons of people in our life who have God-shaped holes. They're dry. They need the water of the Holy Spirit in their life. They need the Holy Spirit to come in. They need us to water them. They need us to allow it to. And if we allow the Holy Spirit to move us, we are truly Spirit-led in our lives. And we truly let the Spirit show us what He wants to show us. We can have life in our life and provide life to other people's life. See, I call this the circle of life. If you ever watch Lion King, that's where I got that. But, see, the bread provides life. The rock provided life. And the water provided life. And then it's a continual circle. So they go back and eat the bread, and they go back and drink the water from the rock. The rock, which is, they drink. So they drink out of that, you see? So we start off with the Word. The Word is presented to us. We accept Christ. We put Him as our rock. We have that relationship with Him, and then the Holy Spirit comes. And then continually the Holy Spirit's leading us to go back to the Word. The Holy Spirit's leading us to get into the words we can have and stand on the rock which we have been presented, which is Christ, our Father, our God. And then the Holy Spirit provides life for us. Because it's boldness, gives us gifts which we can use. See, the Holy Spirit is an amazing part of the Trinity. And a lot of Christians do not know what His job is. A lot of Christians do not know what the Holy Spirit is there for. You see, you have God the Father. We all know about God the Father, right? We all know about the Son. But I guarantee you, if you got all the Christians in the world or in America, over 75% of them would not really know what the Holy Spirit's there for. You know, they might say, well, He's there, He's our comforter. You know, they'll quote that Bible verse. That's true. But what is the Holy Spirit's job? See, it enables us, it gives us gifts. It gives us gifts which enables us to go out and present this to the people. Presents us to allow people to get saved. It gives us gifts. And the thing is, a lot of us don't know our gifts. A lot of us haven't accepted that. A lot of us don't even know what the baptism of the Holy Spirit is. And that's the next step. You see, you get saved and the Holy Spirit comes, then you can have an outpouring. This is Gary. Me and Gary stayed long after Wednesday night. I don't know what time we left, but we talked for a while. And it's like you have, he said, two cups. They're both full of water. But then one, you keep on dropping it and water goes over the edges of it. Or you can take a bottle that's full of water and you put it under a faucet. It's continuous. The baptism of the Holy Spirit is the next step. For the Holy Spirit is constantly flowing over our lives. It gives us the power. It gives us the things which we need. And then it gives us gifts. Wonderful, wonderful gifts, which people say aren't for today. But it gives us wonderful, wonderful gifts, which allow us to have an even better relationship with God and build us up. See, I pray that one day, and it's happening, guys. Y'all may not know this, it's happening. One day, there's going to be a time when most people in this room are baptized in the Holy Spirit. Amen. I promise you that. We're getting to that point. We're going to be a Spirit-led church before you know it. And I promise you that. There are going to be people in here that never thought they'd be anything like that. They're going to be Spirit-led in their life. See, God has more for us. God has more gifts for us. God has more for us. If we look at the Word, we eat what He has said. We bring it in, feed our spirit daily, and we stand on God our rock, and then we allow the Holy Spirit to water down the places in us. We can grow like no one has grown here in our lives, here as a church, and then the communities around us can grow because they'll see that we have more. They'll see that we are happy. We'll see that we have this communion with God like no one else because we're Spirit-led. We're relying on the Holy Spirit in our lives. The Holy Spirit is there to help us and give us gifts. So I'm praying that one day, and I know it's going to happen, we are going to be Spirit-led here. Spirit-led, and people are going to be looking at us there and be like, man, they're a little charismatics for us. But we're on fire for God, and that's the way I want to be. That's the way it should be. Man, if y'all will, go ahead and come on up. See, the Word of God is very important in our lives. It's very important for all believers to have the Word of God daily put into their spirit, to read it so they can grow as Christians. Then they should trust God as their rock. They should stand on God. And then they should allow the Holy Spirit to lead them so He can water down places in their life and other people's lives. And when we read the Word of God, we should look at it. We should look for the meaning of the spiritual meaning of the words instead of the physical meaning. When Jesus healed, He healed people. He healed them there, but He can still heal today. We should look at it that way. We should look at the way He did things. We should look at what the Bible really means. See, and then when Jesus parted, when God parted the Red Sea, see, that represents a road to salvation for us today. That's what the Old Testament parallel is with us. See, it all points to Jesus. It all points to God. We just have to open our eyes a little bit. So I pray when you're reading, pray for God to open your eyes. Pray for the Holy Spirit to move you, show you. Allow yourself to be Spirit-led. Allow yourself to trust on God. And stand on that rock so you will not fall when life hits you hard. Allow those things. If y'all will, stand up. Bow your heads. Today, if you have not received Christ as your Savior yet, you have not trusted Him and you would like to, it's not too late. Come pray with me. If you need prayer for healing, you just need to pray for anything. Baptism in the Holy Spirit. Feel free to come pray with me. I'd be more than glad. Thank y'all.